Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Just Friday night, Philomath had its first football game since 2015. Yeah, it was good. And the coach in the paper said that this year, one of the goals of the team is to have three C's, and one of them was character. So it's good timing for us this morning because we're talking about character here at Peace. Basis of my message comes from Philippians chapter 1, personal words from Paul. It has become known throughout the imperial guard to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Jesus. Wow. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, character. This is the third C in our five-part series on the C's. We've talked about Christ and community, now today on character. Friends, it really feels good, and I think we can all agree this morning, it really feels good to have an audience around you to give you applause and make you feel really special. It does. Think about all the different fields in which people work. That is kind of how it works. Politicians really crave large crowd sizes. And getting the affirmation and the cheers from those who have followed them and want to hear from them. Athletes do it too. Athletes love to perform at the highest level with a packed crowd with jerseys on to root them on and see them perform at their highest levels. Musicians too. They hone their skill quietly while nobody is there, so that when the day of the performance comes, they can give a great performance for those that are in front of them and receive those applause and those thoughts of gratitude for what they've heard. By the way, pastors too love crowds and audiences. They just can't stop talking. They love people just actively listening to everything that they say. We're guilty of it too. You know, it's very true in the 21st century. There's a fancy way to keep track of and to build the crowd size and the applause that are around you, and that works on Facebook. I don't know if any of you practice this, but you take a selfie of yourself. I'm guessing most of you know how to do that. The way it works is you put your phone, your iPhone behind you a little bit. I'm not going to do it here this morning. Oh, maybe I should. I don't know. You make sure that you're in the picture, and you capture everyone behind you, you smile and you take a picture, then you post this on Facebook, and that beautiful picture gets seen by so many people. What you're doing is you're building a crowd, and applause, and positive thoughts are sent your way. We love, no matter what field we work in, no matter what technology we use, we love applause and crowds around us to give us appreciation. You know, there was a story back in the 1950s about a turtle. This story was attributed to Dr. Seuss. A turtle that really loved the applause. Ingrid, you know what I'm talking about. A Yertle the turtle. It's about Yertle the turtle who loved to get the praise and the recognition and to be seen by all the other turtles in the land. Maybe you know that story. Yertle is the king of the pond. And he doesn't like the stone that his throne is on, and so he commands and directs all the other turtles to pile up on top of one another so that he can be seen by everyone. And when he sees the moon, Yertle says, I want to get even higher. More turtles stack on top. Yertle gets really high. And I imagine at that moment that back in 1950, Yertle would have taken a selfie at that moment. He would have taken a picture of himself, and boy, so many people would have loved to see Yertle the turtle. The crowd would have loved him and given him great applause. Now, in the Bible, think of it this way. In the Bible, if there were selfies in biblical times, we can imagine some significant crowds who would say, I like this. Think of Pharaoh's army. And the large grouping of individuals, about 4,000 in might with weaponry. If a timeout was given before they went after the Israelites and they took a selfie there, there would have been a lot of likes for Pharaoh, for the large crowd that was around him. Think of Joshua, Jericho. walking around Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. If Joshua could have taken a time out and taken a selfie, boy, lots of people would have given lots of praise and acclamation and made a lot of people happy. So this is true. It's the way it works in 1950s with Yertle the Turtle. It's also true in the Bible, and it's true today with selfies and Facebook. We love crowds. We love getting people to see us. That's what makes us, sometimes our culture says that's what makes us happy. Here's the problem. We have a book of the Bible called Philippians, and it blows up that whole thought. Let me explain. One way to compare it to is in the story of Yertle the Turtle. Down on the bottom of that big pile of turtles, remember Yertle's up on top getting the praise and acclamation, down on the bottom is a turtle that has not a very fancy name. Yertle has that's a fancy name. Down on the bottom is a little turtle named Mac. He's down in the mud. Life hasn't been good for Mac, and he has endured the pain of all the other turtles on top of him. That's the Apostle Paul in Philippians. Paul is in prison. Did you hear those words? Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul is in prison. In the letter to the Thessalonians, Paul goes on to say that in prison he's beaten, and he has the flesh taken off of him. He is down in the muck and mud, and at this point, this is not the selfie that you want floating around for the world to see, a mugshot in prison. Paul has zero Facebook likes. But here's the amazing things, friends, about Philippians. Paul has joy. How is that possible? He has zero Facebook friends. He has zero likes. He has joy. You know the children's song we sang this morning, Rejoice in the Lord Always? Again, I say rejoice. That comes from Philippians. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That comes from Philippians. Paul says joy throughout this epistle letter in his prayer, opening prayer, chapter 1, verse 4. In my prayers, I remember you with joy. How is this possible? In our time, large crowds, large applause, that's happiness. But here we have no crowds, no joy, sorrow, beatings, punishment, life like living in mud, but we have joy. How's that possible? Friends, I want you to know I've come to a conclusion how that's possible. I'm pretty sure in an in-depth study of Philippians, here's your answer. Paul figured out something that is the key to character. Paul came to the conclusion that the only applause that count in life are Jesus' applause. No other applause count. Jesus' applause. My imprisonment is for Jesus, Paul says. That's an amazing statement. And Paul gets to that point and says that really the only reason that he has joy is for Jesus. At one point, he describes it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All applause are not equal. The ones that Paul says count the most are Jesus. You know, that comes to a very important realization for us in life. And that is this. Our character, deep inside our hearts, this is when it develops. When we set aside all the other applause and we listen for Jesus to clap for what we have done in this life. We could be all alone with nobody watching and not get any credit for the good that we do in life. But if Jesus sees it and he approves, that, my friends, is character. This morning I got a prop. Thank you for bringing this in this morning, whoever brought this in, Bill Kruger. The image of character that the Bible gives is one of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And that's a good illustration of fruit. I have a really bad time picking fruit. I don't know what is a... I base my judgment on outside appearance alone. If an apple is red, great, throw it in the cart. If the cantaloupe is round and not square, great, throw it in the cart. Basing fruit on its outside appearance isn't always the best, is it? It's not a 100% foolproof method. If you guys have any methods on picking a good cantaloupe, let me know, because I fail all the time. It doesn't go so well. Here's the one way to figure out if a fruit is ripe inside. Open it up. Look inside to the depth and what's at the inner core of the fruit. Then you know for 100% if it's ripe. Dear friends, that's the way it works with Jesus and character. Jesus is at work deep inside our hearts. And here's the reality in life. A person could look, think of this, a person could look really good on the outside, and everything could look really good on Facebook, but be rotten on the inside. Or it could be, this could be true. See, a person could have lots of struggles and challenges and be muddy on the outside and not look so good, but on the inside be ripe for God. That's Paul. On the outside, he's in prison, he's been beaten, he's been flogged, he has zero Facebook friends. But you see, friends, he's ripe on the inside. And that's what we're doing here at Peace Lutheran Church when we talk about Jesus. Nobody knows. I can't tell how Jesus is actively involved in your hearts, but I do know this. Jesus is at work when we hear his word, we receive his forgiveness, and inside our hearts are ripened and they become stronger and more ripe to serve him. His grace fills us. His mercy fills us. And we become more and more ripe, and on the outside we even become more ripe. You know, the story of Yertle the turtle ends in an amazing fashion. Do you remember how that ends? There's a little subtle detail that I want to highlight to Yertle the turtle. Yertle is on top of the pile, and he loves his view. And down below, there's Mac, who's endured pain and suffering. He's had life down in the mud. Things have not gone well. I can imagine this turtle having a lot of back pain and needing to see a chiropractor, lifting all the other turtles up. Mac does something interesting. Mac burps. By the way, when that word was used in 1958, that was a bad word in 1958, a burp. And here I am saying it in church. When Mac burps, friends, all the turtles fall down into the pond. Everyone becomes equal, and here's the thing, they've got to crown a new king. Who's going to be king? The best king would be someone who has endured in the mud for years and is used to being down in the mud and in the muck and the hard things of life. No better person to be king than Mac. That's character. All those years of enduring in the mud. That's the way God works with us. How is your life right now? What in your life is a muddy experience? A relationship with someone? A job? A duty that you have to do? How is God perhaps working in your heart? In that moment, whatever that mud may be, at just the brief moment, God can switch our circumstances, and the character that we've developed in those muddy situations, we now then are prepared to influence and bring Jesus to others. That's what happened to Paul in prison. In prison, just the snapping of a finger, an earthquake happens, Paul is sent out and spreads Jesus' word, and he has developed character inside of him that will influence Christians for centuries after him. May it be also the case for us. Look forward to those muddy moments in life. God is at work building character in you. Amen.